looking at it from that perspective, this still doesn't really work super well. There's a lot of internal logic issues that kind of pull you out, even disregarding, much like the writers did, disregarding the existing mythology. Well, hello again, nerds. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Nerd News. I am Dustin. These are the headlines worth talking about. In today's episode, we have all kinds of Blue Beetle updates and rumors. We are going to talk ever so briefly about the new Halo TV series, and Blade has found his way finally into the rumor mill. So we've got a lot to cover. Let's get right into it. TV streaming, we have some stuff. So we do have a couple follow-ups. First and foremost, in the follow-up section, we're talking Moon Knight. Happy Moon Knight Day. I have yet to watch episode one, so we will probably be talking about one and two next week. But we do have a little bit of a follow-up. I don't know if this is really on many people's radar. It's why I'm putting it in today's broadcast. But this is not in the proper MCU. Moon Knight is in its own separate side universe, pocket universe, whatever you want to call it. Partially because of the violence and the more mature rating, but also partially so that they can experiment, it would seem. There have been reports saying that they're going to try things in the Moon Knight series that they wouldn't otherwise do in the MCU. So hopefully that bodes well for the future of the MCU, because they need a little bit of help these days, not gonna lie. So now we're still in follow-ups. We're going to be talking about Halo, the series. Episode one came out last week, and I heard very mixed things about it. I was unable to watch it until the end of the weekend, so everyone already put out their hot take on the Halo series, and so we're just going to do a real quick little honest nerd situation. So first and foremost, when you're watching a piece of fiction, when you're indulging in some fiction, the first and most important thing about that piece of fiction is the internal logic. Does everything that they give you inside of this one IP, inside of this episode, inside of this series, what have you, does it make sense on its own logic? If it is also part of a larger fandom, if it is part, you know, if there's more to it than just this one piece of fiction, then the secondary trait, first is internal logic, second is mythology. Does it make sense inside the mythology that is already pre-existing? The source material, does it honor the source material, that kind of stuff. Looking at it from that perspective, this still doesn't really work super well. There's a lot of internal logic issues that kind of pull you out, even disregarding, much like the writers did, disregarding the existing mythology for Halo. If you just go on based on the merits of this series, then they're painting Master Chief to be something that he really is not, even inside of this inside of just what they have for episode one. The primary thing that I'm thinking of is they've created this perfect soldier who then turns on everything he knows. Based off of potentially just touching a thing and then maybe having a memory, or what they write off as visions in the dialogue very explicitly, until all of a sudden it's not just visions and he knows it's, I don't, it's at once gives you too much information and also not enough, because like we don't need to see Master Chief's face, especially not in the first episode. Mandalorian, we went what, 3 or 4, maybe even 5 episodes before we saw Mandalorian's face. So I understand the desire to show Master Chief's face. I understand the reasoning behind showing Master Chief's face. I just think that the execution of doing it, being as it is such a big deal, was very poorly done. But so, internal logic. If you have this perfect soldier, then communication with base, communication with commanding officers, with whoever is the person in charge of this soldier program, at the very least, should always, like, it makes a lot more logical sense that that communication would exist in a much more conducive way. And they're just, it's just all over the place. I can't even pin down all of these exact specifics because, like, the broad strokes are so off that you can't, the specifics don't even matter after a certain point, because none of this would have happened in the original mythology, and none of this would have happened the way they set up the first half of this episode. So it just, there's a lot of stuff that's really button heads against itself. There is potential that this could get better. From what I've heard about episode 2, that's not exactly the case. Also, the Covenant taking in a human as their own seems very much out of place, because I'm pretty sure, at least in the myth, again, this is separate mythology because it's the original mythology. In the original mythology, they didn't have any experience with humans, from what I remember, until they ran into Master Chief. But okay, maybe that happened somehow. I don't know. There's just, again, the broad strokes are the wrong color and in the wrong place at this point. So I cannot recommend going into Halo. Even based on its own merits, it's still a weak science fiction series. I will probably watch another 2 to 3 episodes just in case it does turn around and get better, but as it stands right now, not a strong series. So that brings us to nerd rant done. We're over it. Halo is what it is. So we do have one other follow-up for TV streaming, and that is Archive 81 over on Netflix has not been renewed for a second season, which is hot garbage. Netflix does have a pretty good track record, thanks very in large part to Mike Flanagan, with horror series. So why they would not renew a series that was number one streaming across all platforms, like it had the largest numbers across all platforms for about 2 to 3 weeks straight, and then they don't renew it for a second season, even after leaving it on a cliffhanger? Like, that's just bad form, Netflix, bad form. Like, I understand you're getting a lot of competition, a lot of solid competition, but that doesn't mean you can't also still be taking minor risks. I mean, you're taking large risks with other properties that we don't talk about here on this show because they're not worth giving breath to, but you're not going to take a chance on something that legitimately was doing well. That just doesn't make any sense to me. So yeah, Archive 81 done. And that's what we've got for follow-ups. We do have some new news. Actually, no, I take that back. We have one more follow-up that was from that was announced this morning. So it's in a different place on the notes, and I apologize. But Umbrella Academy is our next follow-up. We just got the announcement that Vanya Hargreaves is in fact going to be coming out as trans and becoming Victor Hargreaves in season 3. Vanya, the violin, the white violin, if you remember, is played by Elliot Page. Elliot Page recently, relatively recently, I guess, has come out as trans. And so it was announced shortly after Elliot made the announcement that the character that Elliot plays is going to remain a cisgendered female. Well, apparently that's not the case anymore. So very interesting, potentially going to be a get woke, go broke kind of situation for Netflix on this one as well. But that is what we have for follow-ups. And so now let's get into news. Our first piece of news for TV streaming is a new series called Dark Matter. Joel Edgerton is set to star. It is going to be written and showran by Blake Crouch, who is the author of the book that the series is going to be based on. So that's pretty good. I've only read the synopsis of this book. I haven't actually read the book. It's being billed as like one of the best science fiction books to have come out recently. It's pretty light on the science fiction elements and a little, from the synopsis anyway, fairly light on the science fiction elements and a little more thriller aspect. So makes sense that something like this would make its way into popular culture. There is not a release date just yet. So, I mean, as we get closer, I'm sure we'll do at least one more follow-up on this once the release date gets announced. And then we're moving over. Oh, this is kind of a double announcement. So James Bond, or specifically MGM, who owns the James Bond franchise, was bought out by Amazon last week for $8.5 billion. Amazon's first thing they're going to do now that they owned the intellectual property of James Bond, at least in the live action film kind of arena, is they're going to do a reality game show with it. This is so weird. So this is the name of the show, I guess we should start there. The name of the show is going to be 007's Road to a Million. So it's basically groups. So it's like The Amazing Race or any of those other shows like that. You get groups of people and they're going to go to locations throughout the world in hopes of winning a lump of money. So it seems like this show was already in the works because all of the pre-production and stuff has been done long before Amazon purchased MGM. So now that they have the rights to the 007 name and franchise, they're just tacked that onto this thing. It's probably not going to, wasn't going to do well at all previously. Now it'll probably do kind of well for the first season, maybe, because it is set up to go to all these iconic locations throughout the world that are that James Bond locations from the movies and such. So, I mean, that will be at least have some sort of novelty for the first season. If it's going to go past that at all, oof, very much remains to be seen. But this is the first thing that Amazon's doing, and I think this is further proof that they are going to be squandering all of the IPs that they purchase. Moving right along, we have another announcement. This one is for HBO Max, a new series in the It universe. This new series is going to be called Welcome to Derry. It is going to be a prequel to the Andy Muschietti It movies. Andy Muschietti and his wife, Barbara, and their writing partner, what is his name? Oh, I lost it. Jason Fuchs are going to be producing and writing, and I believe even Fuchs is going to be directing some of these episodes. So it will have very strong ties to those Muschietti movies, the It and It Chapter 2. So far, not a whole lot is known about Welcome to Derry, but the little bit that we do know seems to imply that it is going to revolve around a character named Bob Gray, who is from the original Stephen King novel and was alluded to in the Chapter 2 Andy Muschietti movie. So pretty deep on the lore, hopefully. All I want to know is, are we going to see the giant turtle that vomited forth the universe? Because I think that's some of the craziest elements of those books, but or of that book specifically, I guess. But that's all we got on this one. And then we have nothing else for news. So let's get into suggestions. Our suggestion today is actually recommendation from a viewer. Manly25 over on the TikTok has requested a spotlight, if you will, for Young Justice Season 4. So if you are an HBO Max subscriber or if you have other means of getting this and you are appreciative of the DC animated universe, then Young Justice is obviously a series you probably have already watched. But if you have yet to dive into such things, then Young Justice is a great place to start. Season 4 is actually very, very solid. It ended December of last year. It has yet to be picked up for a fifth season. If you remember, though, Season 4 was a little bit of a gift to fans and was announced a little while back. And then when it happened, it was kind of a big deal. And now it's back in limbo. So theoretically, they could leave it where it is, though there is possible way to get a season 5. So if it gets enough attention, perhaps it will get a season 5. So go give season 4 of Young Justice some attention because it is absolutely worth your time. So that was TV streaming section. And before we get into the movies section, I just want to jump in real quick here, nerds, and remind you that if you are watching on the YouTube or on the Rubble or any of the other visual options, then you can push the thumbs up and do the things and let the algorithm gods know that you like what's going on here so that they can continue to give you all of the nerdy goodness. Also, a reminder that this Friday, April 1st, we will be doing another live episode. So if you want to join the conversation and contribute your news to the news, then you can join me live, youtube.com/generalnerdy, round about 7:30 Mountain Standard Time here in the States. And the other thing is there's merch up on the website, generalnerdy.net. You can go buy your nerdy swag and do all the things. And that being said, without any further ado, nerds, let's get into the movies section. Now let's talk about movies. So in movies, we have mostly just follow-ups, and so let's get into the follow-ups. Blue Beetle is our first follow-up, and this one's actually kind of lengthy. So we have the announcement that Sharon Stone and George Lopez have both been cast in the movie. Sharon Stone is going to be playing a character created just for the movie, though related to a character from the Blue Beetle mythology. Her character's name is going to be Victoria Cord, K-O-R-D. If you are familiar with the Blue Beetle lore, then you will recognize that last name because it belongs to Ted Cord, who was the original Blue Beetle in the comic books. So that has led into some rumors, which we will get to in the rumor mill for sure. But then George Lopez is set to play Uncle Rudy Reyes, who is the uncle to Jaime in the mythology. And the movie is still set for an August 18th theatrical release in 2023. Not this year, next year. So our next follow-up is an awesome one. Real quick, Deadpool 3 follow-up. We do have, it's all but officially been announced. I mean, the two of the main people involved in this have announced it. So Ryan Reynolds and Leslie Ugams, I apologize for mispronouncing that, have made it known that she will be returning as Blind Mag, and that's freaking awesome. I realize it just said Blind Mag, but I meant to say Blind Al, and I'm sorry, but this is the way we're editing the episode, so. She and Ryan Reynolds both have confirmed as much on their Twitters, so if you want to go see my evidence, then you can do that by following them on the Twitters. Next, we're talking about Morbius, and there is kind of spoiler territory ahead, though we're not going to talk in detail about this, so kind of not really spoilers alert, I guess, but it does seem that the two post-credit scenes have both been leaked online, seemingly from the test screenings that have been happening over the last approximately 2 months, I believe. And yeah, it's kind of there again. Even if we were to explicitly talk about what's happening in these, there's nothing in these that's really going to give away what happens in the movie. It's just we get a little bit more Michael Keaton action. So I almost wanted to put this into the rumor mill because it is leaks, but I'm pretty sure this is legit. Like, there's so little doubt in my head, it would be like a 99.9999999% likelihood that this is real. You can find these two clips on the internet. It is not super hard, so you don't have to really dig that far, but they do exist. The movie does come out this week. And yeah, just interesting, I guess. And then our other follow-up is for the Teen Wolf reboot movie, which is the culmination, it seems, of the series, but not really. This is just casting stuff. We're not going to get into what the potential of this movie actually is, but this is casting stuff. We do have Ian Bowen, Kylan Rambo, both reprising their roles from the MTV series, and also Tyler Hoechlin is in negotiations to do the same. So no release date. No, they're not even into production just yet because they're still finalizing contracts. There were a slew of other casting announcements for this movie as well, But they were all for new characters. It wasn't, you know, the same stuff. So if you are interested, follow the link in the description, and we're moving right along. Next, we have trailers to get out of the way. So first, we have the new Top Gun Maverick trailer. This movie is still set for May 27th. We get a little bit more Miles Teller in this trailer, which is pretty awesome because that's what this movie should be about, even though it's probably not going to be. Thank you very much, Tom Cruise. But still, going to be fun, going to be worth a watch when it comes out. And then the big one, and I felt so weird putting this in as a trailer because it's not really a trailer. It's a cut scene. The Batman has released their Joker scene that has been cut from the movie. There are about 17 different channels on YouTube that have posted it in its entirety. It is a little over 5 minutes long. We don't really see the Joker in this, even though we do. Like, he's never in focus unless it's like an extreme close-up on his eyes or something. Very effective. I really feel like, so the reasoning, let's get into this. The reason why Matt Reeves took this scene out of the movie is because he said it kind of interrupted the pacing of the movie. Where he had it, it really kind of was redundant in a lot of ways and slowed things down, which if you already have a 3 hour plus movie, maybe don't slow things down. So I can understand that. But my postulation for this is maybe the other things that covered this information previously in the movie could have been removed and kept the Joker. Because this is probably the best fan service-y thing from the movie, and it was completely removed. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. It's fantastic. You should absolutely go watch this. This gives me a lot more hope going forward, though that hope comes with a little asterisk because Matt Reeves has made it explicitly known that we might not ever see the Joker again in his universe. We very likely won't see him in the next movie. I would be surprised if that was the case, but that is the words that he's giving us. So very potentially, this could just be a one-off, really awesome scene. And because you don't have to deal with Pattinson's cardboard Batman as much, because most of this is Barry, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, and I apologize, but he does fantastic. Because most of this is Barry, And Pattinson is supposed to be introspective in this scene. Like, it works so much better than a lot of that movie. So, yeah, very strange choice to have cut this and kept the other stuff instead of the other way around. But that is what we have for trailers. Again, really weird putting that in as trailers. And we have a real quick breaking news piece. I was just informed of this while filming today, that Bruce Willis is retiring from acting. He has been diagnosed with aphasia, and that's all we know right now. So we will probably touch on this one more time after I can get a little bit more research behind it next week. But yeah, Bruce Willis retiring from acting, that's pretty big. And that's actually all of the news for the movies section. So that gets us into suggestions, and going in line with our the quick and nerdy that I just posted, today's movie this week's movie suggestion is going to be Seven. I am a huge David Fincher fan. I think Seven is probably the best example of modern film noir. And Fincher is amazing. There's so many video essays. There are so many analyses of this movie on why it's one of the greatest cop movies ever that you can honestly spend hours on YouTube just analyzing this movie with the people who wrote the essays and such. That it stands as evidence of itself that it is, you should be watching this movie. It does come with, again, a little bit of an asterisk because this is a very graphic movie. So if you are, you know, light on the stomach, maybe don't go watch it. But if you are a fan of cinema, if you are a fan of fantastic cinematography and writing, or just Brad Pitt, or just Morgan Freeman, or, you know, anyone else in the, just go watch this movie. It's so good. So good. And that's our movie suggestion. Okay. Rumor mill. Let's do this. Rumor mill. We have a few Blade rumors. It's kind of two rumors, but we're going to break it into four because the first one's kind of big and the second one has two different elements, very easily two different elements. So the first rumor is that supposedly there's going to be multiple timelines that they're telling this story in. So those multiple Blade timelines is going to be the 20s, the 30s, and then modern era. So that's effectively our first rumor. And then our second rumor is tied to this. It's the continuation. The modern timeline is going to include Kit Harington's Dane Whitman, also known as Black Knight. We did see at the end of Eternals when Kit found the Ebony Blade, or I guess Dane found the Ebony Blade, and we heard Mahershala Ali's voice say, are you ready for that? So there's a lot of indications that this is legit. So but let's go back to the first part, multiple timelines. Yeah, I don't have any real reason to say one way or the other, though the source is really, really good. So we're going to give it a slightly more than halfway. We're going to say about 55% likelihood that that is the case. Even though these two rumors are technically the same rumor, I feel like there's a little bit more validity to one half than the other half. So 55 for the first half, 70% likelihood that we will be seeing Kit Harington in this movie. That's honestly being like very doubting. if I'm being even more honest and it's slightly less objective, then I would say it would be more of a 90%, but it is still very much rumored. It is only one source saying it. It is a fantastic source. It's just the one source that is saying this stuff. So we can't go as high as I want to just because of, you know, likelihoods and so on and so forth. So, 70% likelihood we will see Kit Harington's Black Knight in this movie. And then the other two rumors for Blade are the first being that we're going to see Dracula in this movie. Whether or not he's going to be the main antagonist, I don't believe that's the situation. But that is the rumor. And then the second half of that rumor is Giancarlo Esposito is rumored to be playing Dracula, which would be really, really cool, but very much rumor. So as far as the first half of this, 50-50, because no real reason to go one way or the other yet. There's not a whole lot of corroborating evidence. And then because the Giancarlo thing is dependent on the first one, we can only go as high as 50%. And because that would be really awesome, we're just going to go up to 50% just because I want to, because that's the way it goes. So our next rumor is Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe 3 or the holiday special. That's up to you to decide, apparently. But the rumor is as follows. They are filming something for Guardians of the Galaxy right now. Be that Volume 3 or the holiday special is uncertain. But apparently on set has been seen Kevin Bacon. So there is a rumor that we are going to get a Kevin Bacon cameo in the next Guardians of the Galaxy at some point. Again, it does not specifically say if it's the holiday special or the movie, or the Volume 3 rather, because it's unclear which is being filmed at the moment. Though the code name for the shooting project has something to do with Christmas, so I would say probably the holiday special, but again, not in the actual rumor. So there are other examples of Marvel doing this in the Guardians, and James Gunn specifically, in the Guardians movies. So this is not exactly new territory, but it's not a great source. It's kind of a garbage source, honestly. I would not be surprised if this happened, but we don't have enough evidence one way or the other. So we're going to put it at 50% because that's where we go when there's no reason to go in one direction or the other. Our next rumor has to do with the legendary MonsterVerse. Son of Kong is apparently going to be the next movie in the MonsterVerse, according to this rumor. There's a lot of reason to not think this is the case. So my first reason for going low, and we haven't got there yet, but first reason for going low on this is because the way these movies are built, they would have to introduce a mate for Kong. And they haven't done that yet. And if they're going to do that in the same movie that then we get the son of Kong, I feel like that's a poor choice. And I'm just going to hope that they're going to try and avoid obvious poor choices. So there's that. There's also the larger MonsterVerse at hand. So we've got the Godzilla. We haven't really had much experience with any of the other kaiju that are still alive. We've seen that there are, I think the last count was something like 12 different kaiju around the world in this universe. And we've really only explored Godzilla and King Kong. So I feel like the more logical next step in the MonsterVerse is to have a movie where we have some other kaiju elements and then maybe introduce the idea of Son of Kong, and then the next movie past this would be Son of Kong. That would make a lot more sense. But just all indications, and then the source for this is just really not great. So we're going 30% likelihood that Son of Kong is the next MonsterVerse movie that is coming out the gate from Legendary. Our next rumor has to do with the DC movie timeline and the release dates. We did just get that big shakeup a couple of weeks ago. It might have even been a month ago at this point. Where everything kind of got shuffled around, and that put The Flash at the back end of the release dates instead of at the front end. And so the rumor is that that is largely due to Ezra Miller. As we have seen recently, Ezra was arrested in Hawaii for reasons. He's been arrested previously during the production of this movie. The rumor is he's just not well, which obviously that is the case. And because of his mental strain or whatever excuse you're going to give to this Hollywood celebrity, because of whatever is going on behind the scenes, that is the largest factor of why these movies got rearranged. What we've been told explicitly is that it just wasn't going to be done. They have a lot more post-production to do, and it wasn't going to be able to meet its original release date. But that being said, that doesn't mean you have to move it as far back as they did. I don't know exactly how his personal life is affecting the release of these movies. So that's kind of something that's really difficult to understand and also kind of factors against this. But we did get the move. We did get the cycle. And also as it relates to this, apparently that means that we have to cut Michael Keaton out of a couple of scenes in other movies because he was supposed to be introduced in The Flash and then also be in these other DC movies. But if he's not introduced in The Flash, and then all of a sudden he's just in these other movies, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. So they had to do a lot of re-editing for everything. That is apparently the behind the scenes. So what is the likelihood that this is the case? Again, middle of the road. This is a really good source, but I really don't understand why his personal life is affecting the release of this movie, because his personal life isn't affecting the release of the new Fantastic Beasts movie, and that's in just the same kind of predicament. So it just, there's certain things that don't really equate. This is the only reason we're going as high as we are on this one is because the source is so good. So 50% likelihood that this is the case. And the unfortunate thing about this too is there's never going to be a way to confirm this. There's never going to be, which is another reason why I didn't go any higher than 50, because we'll never know. We'll never 100% know that it was because of Ezra Miller. So that's just how we're going to have to leave it. And that just sits really bad in my mouth. And then we have a Blue Beetle rumor that sounds super freaking likely. So again, if you remember, Sharon Stone has been cast to play a new character to the universe, and that is Victoria Cord, who is the wife of, apparently, Ted Kord. And Ted Kord is the original Blue Beetle in the mythology. So the rumor has it that we will be seeing Ted Kord as the actual villain in the movie, and Sharon Stone will just be kind of a front for him. So this seems pretty cool. I don't know that he's going to be the villain. I do believe, though, that we will see him in this movie. So going there, we're going to put that at 70%. Him being the villain, 50-50. It could go either way. But very probably, this is my projection, very probably what's going to happen is we're going to see Victoria as the villain, because she's going to be trying to exact some sort of revenge on the new Blue Beetle because her husband died or something. And we're going to see the original Ted Kord in flashback sequences because of, again, the revenge that his wife is trying to exact. So, yeah, I think we're going to see Ted Kord. I don't think he's going to be the villain, but I think we're going to see Ted Kord. And that, nerds, is the end of today's Comic Talk headlines. For more in-depth conversation on comics and comic culture, then you can jump over to nerdylegion.com and see all of the other podcasts we offer on the subject. Or if you want to go deeper into the news conversation, you want more sections, more news, more nerdy goodness, you can join me on my personal YouTube channel, Generally Nerdy. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining me, and we will see you next time.